All right, we're going to the Bible today. I'm going to be talking about living in thanksgiving. And just wanted to read you something that I wrote a little bit for this teaching. My eyes having a little bit of trouble, so. It says, our Father gave us life. He gave us individuality. He gave us the ability to think and free will to choose. He made us in His own image. He saved us through the complex plan to give mankind a chance to choose to come to Him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Father accepted us when we were dead and worthless, literally enemies, and asked for nothing but to have faith in His Son. So how do you respond to His benevolent and this merciful Father? We're just going to look at His Word. We're going to look at, you know, really as children that we should be responsive to for all these wonderful blessings and so many more. I was thinking that, you know, there's not a whole heck of a lot that God has asked us for that's unique. I think any family wants these kinds of things from their children. We don't ask our kids to pay us back for all the money we spent and laid out. We don't ask them to really support us. I mean, some people, the kids, they help them in their old age, and that's a beautiful thing. But it's a gift, again. It's not required. You know, but how much has God given you and me? You know, living thankfully. You know, that's what do you think that looks like? So let's go to Ephesians 5. And maybe I'll come to this from a little bit different angle. Because I just want to go to the Word and see what it is that the Lord wants. In verse 15 in Ephesians 5, it says, see that you walk circumspectly. You know, you're to walk accurately. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord is, what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know that He wants you to walk accurately, circumspectly. He wants you to walk with your head on a swivel, looking around you, but walk accurately. He wants you to be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is, redeem the time, because the days are evil, the days are short. And then praise Him. Praise Him, give thanks to Him, sing in your heart hymns and psalms and spiritual songs with grace in your heart unto the Lord. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. I want you to think about that verse. Now, Colossians is talking about the first chapter tells you everything that Christ really accomplished. He delivered you into the kingdom to come from darkness. He is the one that sacrificed himself for you. You did absolutely nothing. You and I have done absolutely nothing for our salvation. It says here, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, you just simply received him. He did all the work. He did everything. He's the one that suffered, died. He's the one that came. He's the one that put up with all the hypocrites. He's the one that had to deal with his own apostles. You know, I mean, I don't know. If you're a perfect guy and you got perfect thoughts, do you want to really hang out with these people? That's what I was thinking. But, you know, he loved them, cared for, he loves us. Jesus loves us. And you and I just receive Christ Jesus the Lord. So the response really is to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's how you show you're thankful. You do well. You walk like him. You root yourself. You root yourself and you just establish yourself in the faith as you have been taught. And you live with thanksgiving. And I think that, what does yours say? Generous?
Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude.
Overflowing with gratitude. You know, are you overflowing with gratitude? It's a question to ask yourself. What does that look like? You know, I mean, overflowing with gratitude. You know, you go out and somebody in your family gives you a car, the house, and you're just skipping down the street. You didn't earn any of this. They just gave it to you. And you're just gushing all over them. Oh, thank you so much, Uncle Joe. You know, I mean, is that what our heart feels like? Is that the way in which, you know, we live each and every day? I think if we thought deeply, if we do think deeply about these things, that's how we should be. You know, I mean, and I'm not just talking about just because things are good at the moment or things are not so good at the moment. What do you got to be complaining about? The next thing you're going to know after you fall asleep is the Lord face to face. You know, the only people that got stuff to complain about are those of us who are here, who miss them. And long for their fellowship. Well, I'm literally gonna have that forever. It's just a short period of time between now and then. For some of us, it's shorter than others. But I got eternity. I'm gonna have a new body, new mind. I got the presence of God in my life. I got fellowship with him. I can walk and talk with my Father. I got his presence in me all the time. This is to be established in the faith. to keep these things running through your heart. The days are short. Walk accurately. Think the way you're supposed to think. You know, these are truths that you just got to let them blossom in your heart. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. So again, we did nothing to receive any of this. We just received Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, in our heart. I love this record in Ephesians 2, how God saved dead people. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I walked with the devil. You know, literally, that's what this just said. I was a child of the devil. I walked with the devil. I had his nature. I was dead. He quickened me. He made me alive. It says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive, us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has made us to sit in the heavenly realm. He took us, you and me, and anybody thinks that, oh, I wasn't that bad, you're a fool. Read what the Bible says and understand that it's true. Humble yourself before him, because you were dead in trespasses and sin. And it wasn't even your own fault. You were dead the day you were born, because you inherited that from your relative, Adam and Eve. Mom and dad, grandpappy, however many generations ago. You know, make fun of that, but that's our bloodline. And that's what they passed down from generation to generation. So sin and death were in the world. And our brother, our Lord and Savior, our Father, sent his Son and saved us. Now, if that don't make you thankful, I don't know. Maybe you're taking too many pills or something. I don't know. And it's by grace that we're saved. God requires us to have faith in the gospel as the requirement for him to save us, to make us alive by his grace. We don't make ourselves alive by our faith. We believe the truth that he asks us to believe. We accept the gospel. And he, by his grace, makes us alive. He does that miracle. And he places us in the heavenly realm, in Christ Jesus. That in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them. You know, here it is. He's given us everything. We accepted Christ Jesus. He asks us to be rooted and grounded in the faith and to walk. He asks us in Ephesians 5 to walk circumspectly, walk accurately, and then praise him and give him thanks. Colossians, you accept the Lord and be thankful. You know, I think Mary's thing was overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude. See, this is biblically what it means to be thankful. I know that Thanksgiving time is my favorite time. It's my favorite holiday. It's just the best thing in the world for me. I get to sit around with my family, enjoy them, enjoy fellowship. You know, eat a bunch of wonderful food. And it's just such a blessing. We get to talk. We get to be there. There's not a whole lot of gift given. There's not a whole lot of other things that are involved. It's the time to be together. It's the time to rejoice in the things that God has done. It's always been my favorite holiday. And I remember with great fondness all the things. It's the one thing in my family of my youth that I enjoyed very, very much. Christmas, they were always fighting over something. You know, birthdays and holidays and anniversaries, there was always drama. Thanksgiving seemed to be easier and richer. You know, and now there are people who fill it with football. You know, I mean, and Black Friday. And there's a lot of things that have come up since, you know, with the holiday and, you know, but this is what God talks about. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I want you to think about what God wants. I want you to think about the eternal things, not the temporal. We can have all those other things, too, we can be thankful for. But I want to think about, I really do want to think about the eternal. And go to John. Gospel of John, chapter 13. In John 13, I wanted you to see this in light of Scripture and in light of what the Lord really wants. And he says in verse 13, it says... Well, this is after he washed their feet and he sat down. 13 says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I am your Lord and Master." You got that right. "If then your Lord and Master hath washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Jesus Christ came to serve. Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Master, washed his disciples' feet. He says, I've done this as an example to you. You take care of one another. You serve one another. If I'm your Lord, you're not better than me. If your Master does this, then you need to do this also. I don't know. I'm sure that there are better eloquent words that, like, better than King James to say that. But I think it's really communicated very clearly, even in King James English. He lived a certain way. He took care of, loved, cared for, reproved, smacked down with love, with his words. They were sharp words. They cut to the quick. Some of these words were so sharp they wanted to kill him. And they wanted to kill him in short order. But he always spoke the truth. He always spoke in love. He spoke so that people could live. And he served them. And he cared for them. And he taught them. And he gave his life physically, emotionally, to all of us. And God had it recorded in the Word so that you and I wouldn't lose this. It wouldn't just be an old fable. And this thing is put together so well that if you just follow it and track with it through the verses, you can see accuracy and just uncanny. There's just no way people from 1,000 years separating apart can hit the target, you know, in such a precise way that these words from 1,000 years before come to pass in a precise, wonderful way. The way in which he lived is the way we should live. And he has given us that example. You know, that's how we respond. Go to chapter 14 here. You know I love these verses. In chapter 14, verse 20, he says to them, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. When the day of Pentecost happens, you're going to understand this. This is going to come together for you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And we will manifest, and I will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how will thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. We will live with him. And he that loves me not, he keeps not my sayings. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Yeah, he couldn't make that any more plain. I'm telling you what my father just told me. This is how it happens. This is the way it goes. See, you can be, there are people, you ever give something to somebody and they say, oh, thank you. And they really don't care about anything. They just, this is what you say. You know, this is how you're supposed to do it. You know, somebody gives you something, they give you a gift, and, oh, that's nice, thank you. And then they go off, and they don't think about you until the next Christmas or whatever it is. You know, or the person at work, they can't even remember your name. That's common in the world. Not just because somebody says thank you, just because somebody praises you for the moment, doesn't mean that this is really sticking here. You know what really sticks? When they do, and we're talking about close relations now. Like, I'm thinking always about family. When my children would do what I said, that always confirmed to me that they were on the right path and they were honoring me and they were going to be okay. And when they said thank you and they told me they loved me, I knew that they did because of their actions. And their actions spoke much louder and were much more concrete than just the words. Words without actions are just BS. They're just BS. They don't mean nothing. You know, when go to Luke 6. Now, nobody does this perfectly. I get that. So when somebody violates it, when your child violates it, a time or two or 10 or 20, you don't throw out the kid because you don't mean it. No, they made a mistake. And they'll but in general, they're trying. You know, like there's nothing cuter than when my kids, when Chrissy and Michael were like 2 and 3, and I'd ask them to pick up the piece of paper that was on the floor and put it in the trash. And they'd run over to please mom and dad. They'd run over to that piece of paper. They'd pick it up. And then they'd run over to the trash can. And then they'd miss it. And it just blessed me so much. They tried. I think God gets the same kick out of us. You know? I mean, certainly, eventually, you got to get to the place where you hit the trash can. You know, you got to grow up a little bit more. Aim's got to be a little bit better. But I think it's very much like that with God and us. This guy has gone from death, and now he's talking to me. I don't know what he's talking about, but he's talking to me. And then he learns what to say. He learns what gratitude is. He learns what Thanksgiving is. He learns what I've done for him, and he appreciates it. He doesn't understand the depth or the knowledge or the wisdom. He doesn't understand the power that it took, but he appreciates it. My kid appreciates it. And I think God, I don't think we're ever going to understand the depth or the wisdom or the power or the love. I don't think we're ever going to understand the magnitude of those things ever in our life. It says we see through a glass darkly. But we're giving him all we got. We're giving him the heart that we have. And hopefully we're growing into it. And if I live to 100, which is doubtful, I hope that I grow further and further into that. And not just stagnate someplace along the way. You know, I told you to go to Luke 6. Luke 6, 39. It says, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And that the disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. That's the best you can do. Be like him. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceives not the beam that is in thy own eye, neither how can thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam that is in thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and beareth my sayings, heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And he is like a man which built a house, and diggeth deep, and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the floods arose, and the streams beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that beareth and doth not is like a man without a foundation, and built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. What's the fruit in your life look like? You can tell exactly what things are in your life and where you're at. Whether you have fruit, and that's what the tree you're made out of at the moment. You know, and you are known by your fruit. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. So what does, you can see the manifestation of the tree that you are. You know, you just look in the mirror. If I died today, what would people say about me? What would be the eulogy from this one and that one and the other one? Would you like to hear it? I know that they're all going to say nice things when they're standing up front. But I'm talking about what they would really say in their head and heart. See, I think we can, we should look. Because why do you say to him, Lord, Lord, and do not what he says? You know, and I don't want to take this to the severity of, oh, you're out. No, you're never out. You change. See, the world we live in, if you make a mistake and you get canceled or whatever, there's no redemption. There's no such thing as redemption. If they label you this, then you are that, and that's the end of it. That is never true with God. Never. There's only one sin that is unto death, and that is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Because that's what God requires. You to believe the gospel. Go to Psalm 84. He wants to see these things. It's how we praise him. It's how we give thanks unto him. It's how we are to respond. It's what loving children do. Psalm 84. You know, there are people like the Pharisees that wanted to change the rules. You know, Jesus said to them, the word says, honor thy mother and father. All right. And you say, if I give you a gift, it's good. I forget exactly what it says, but that's essentially the truth. You change the rules. Whatever benefits you from me, It's a gift. I'm free of that honor and my mother and father. I take care of them. When I throw them a bone. Go ahead, change the rules. See how it works out for you. It don't. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You got promises that are in the scriptures because of how you walk. How you walk, how you honor him. I love the record in Genesis 14. Abram. He went to war, he came back, you know, he beat the tar out of the guys that took Lot. He came back, and the king of Sodom came up to him in verse 21, Genesis 14, and he says, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for thyself. You can have the spoils of war. Just give me the people that were in my city. And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands unto Yahweh, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread even to a shoelace. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion which the men which went with me, Adler, Eshol, and Mari, let them take their portion. Abram didn't want, I don't want you to be able to say that you made me rich. I want you to watch and know that it's Yahweh that blesses me. This thrilled Almighty God. I mean, you think about this. Talk about honoring God, right? This thrilled God. Look at what God says in 15. And after these things, the word of Yahweh came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You won me. I'm your protector and I am your reward. How big is this lottery? To honor God and just say to a guy, I'm not even going to let you have the satisfaction of thinking that you made me rich. Now, when you go to battle, I don't care who you are, you got the right, you got the spoils of war are yours under everything from the beginning on. And the other guys that went up with them, they took their portion. It's just right. You do the work, you get it. Nah. You're not even going to have the privilege of thinking that. God's the one who takes care of me. And God said, hey, you did this. I am your shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then it's right after this. You know, and he told them the promise. He told them that he's going to have the seed is going to be like the stars of heaven. And in verse 6 it says, and he believed in Yahweh. And he, Yahweh, counted it to him for righteousness. This is the verse in Romans that's quoted for, this is Abraham's salvation. He trusted God, believed what he said, stood up for God first, believed what he said, and God, he believed and God counted it to him for righteousness, for salvation. This is the father of faith. This is a guy that we should follow the example of too. Yeah, it's just a remarkable thing. It just brought tremendous pride to the to God Almighty. It honored him to the hilt. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, verse that you probably are all very familiar with. Again, God has given us so much, right? And he's also given us the book. He's given us the word. He's given us these truths written down that have lasted over the centuries. And it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. And these scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that the individual who walks with God, the man of God, may have be fully equipped Truly furnished, absolutely, completely equipped unto all good works. You know, the whole point so that you can do something. Not just sit on the couch and watch, you know, TV. It's so that you can be effective, be like the Lord. Go out and teach, preach, help others, minister, show the power of God, show the glory of God. You know, it's just wonderful. Go to Titus. It's right next door. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yeah, we don't do good works to get in front and to impress our Lord. The good works come because it's our response. Because we're really grateful for what he's done. And we walk in the things that he's given us. There's no other... I don't see any other way to think about it. He's purified us. He has redeemed us from all iniquity. So, let me ask you something. We're going to go to Matthew 25. Do you think we got time? Yeah, why not? Matthew 25. My meeting? I try not to think like that. Matthew 25:31. I love this too. Jesus Christ is teaching about when he returns, what's going to happen. And it says here in 25:31, it says, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne, the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them that are on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in, and so forth. All based, and if you did this to those people, you did it to me. You know, the believers, because of what, how they have lived, because of the compassion that they have shown, are going to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, it doesn't say how much Bible you read. It doesn't say how right you got it. Everybody's worried about being right. Well, I tell you what, even if you're stupid, you know that you're supposed to do compassionate, loving, forgiving, caring things. You're supposed to be nice. Helpful. I don't think any Christian gets that part wrong. Yeah, you may not have every ounce of the doctrine correct. But that's not what he's talking about in the judgment. So I take him at his word. You know, in Philippians, it says we get new bodies. You got things to be thankful about. Sit down and make a list sometimes. I made a short little list. I just thought last night, before I took my Advil, I'm getting a new body. I'm getting a new body. And God loves you. God forgave you. You talk about things to be thankful for. God provides for you and me. We got peace. I got peace. You got peace. Joy. You got the presence of God by the Spirit in your life. You're never alone. Even when the room is empty, the Lord is there. You got his counsel. Anytime you ask a question, you got his counsel. He'll get you the answer. Just be patient. You got the hope of eternity. And it says in Revelation, there's going to be no more crying, no more tears. Wish I could quote that. No more sorrow, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. I don't know if we're going to remember anything about this life. Don't matter to me, really. We're going to have all eternity to get a new one cooking. If there's no more tears, then I'm not going to remember a lot of things in this life. There's no more sorrow. I'm not going to remember a lot of things about this life. I have all eternity without any of those things. And I will be in the presence of Almighty God and my Lord and Savior. And I am so looking forward to that. So that's what I wanted about living thankfully. So that's what I had to share with you.